Welcome to Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
And welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with Nicole Romito. Nicole, hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. Just trying to survive year end. How are you doing today, Bill?
Year end is crazy. I think we're getting ready for a bunch of snow here in the Northeast. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well,
but, you know,
we'll make it feel more like the holiday season, won't it?
It will. But you know what, Nicole? I've told you this before. I'm just such a not a winter person. I would like winter to be over like in January 5th or something like that. That would be winter for Christmas and then it ends in January. But I don't think I'm going to get that.
I think you are. If global warming continues to have its way, I think you might be closer to that than you think.
So. Oh, I hope so. But I doubt it. I doubt it. So what do we have on the plate today?
Yeah, so we are, I think our listeners will be excited. We're going to be doing a two-part series, and I'm welcoming back one of my esteemed colleagues. Mike McCabe is in studio with me today. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Hi there. Happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you back. And what Mike and I are going to talk about, like I said, over two parts or two episodes, but really we're going to say, you know what? I'm retiring soon. And we're thinking like within the next 12 months, what should I be doing and thinking about when it comes to my money? So that's what Mike and I are going to talk about today.
Big step, retiring, big step.
Absolutely. So in case for our listeners, Mike's prior episode was on a while ago, let me give you a refresh on his bio. I can't believe this, but he has reached his 40th year in financial services. If you check this out on our YouTube channel, you'll kind of be like, how is that possible? Because he doesn't look it. He continues his primary focus of assisting clients in the successful management of their financial lives so they can enjoy and flourish in their real lives. As a certified financial planner and certified pension consultant, Mike is also passionate about mentoring our younger Private Vista team members and serving on the practice's investment committee. Outside of work, Mike likes to stay very active with exercise, such as swimming, biking, and golfing, and socializing. And he definitely enjoys spending time with his wife, Kathleen, their friends, and their families. And for the last 2 years, he has been happily enjoying a new role, Grandpa. And also, we wanted to just finish off with that Mike and his wife recently turned 64 themselves. So a lot of this they just went through or are getting ready to go through themselves. So I think it's going to be very timely, and Mike will be able to share maybe some insights or tips and tricks that they learned as they've navigated the various systems. So now that we know a little bit about Mike, why don't we go ahead and get started on our content? So I think what we're going to do is, and we're not going to do a deep dive on this, but you can certainly call any of us at Private Vista if you want to learn how some of these ages may apply for you. But Mike, why don't you give us a rundown? You know, there are some like key ages or birthdays as you are getting closer to thinking about retirement.
Sure. And, you know, for almost all of us, age 65 seemed to be that age, right? 65 is a big deal. Not so much anymore. Lots of dates move around, but age 65 still is very relevant for Medicare eligibility, right? And again, as Nicole said, we're not going to make this a Medicare seminar, but you've got parts A and parts B. So A is what you kind of automatically sign up for. That's the free hospital one. And then Medicare Part B is when you need insurance in retirement, whether you've left your employer's plan or whatever the situation might be. So Medicare is 65. That's still a real logical date to be thinking about. Other ones that come to mind, most right behind that, would be Social Security. Again, for all of us in our 50s and 60s and 70s now, Social Security is age 67 to get your full benefit. So while you can get it earlier, there's lots of reasons why you wouldn't want to take it early and some good reasons why you might want to take it later. And time permitting, we may talk a little bit about that. But again, kind of a deep dive topic that could go on for a while.
Yeah, I'm just going to add on there that their other dates are the earliest you can take it for retirement benefits is age 62. That's still the same right. for everyone, regardless of when you were born. Age 60 is you have early access to a survivor benefit. So if your spouse predeceases you and left you a survivor benefit, the earliest you can get that is 60. And then the other one that has not changed is you can delay your benefit. And the latest age you'd want to do that to is age 70. So just wanted to highlight that while there are lots of changes, those three have remained the same.
Right, right. Where we have had some other changes is you may be aware of that, you know, we got these required minimum distributions that you have to take out of your IRAs and retirement plans. And that's now basically 73 for this cohort of people that we're talking about today.
Okay.
Older people, from somebody my age, it's actually going to be age 75. So, you know, you don't to not to realize you don't have to tap into your IRA money until I'm 75 is a different process, perhaps, than originally thought years ago when 70 and a half was that magical age. So that's kind of an interesting gap there that may or not be of interest to people.
Yeah, no, that was a big change in the tax law. I know during one of the SECURE Acts, they did that.
Right.
So it's good to know. Okay. And then I think, too, you also had, there's a couple more ages that are related to retirement plans. Do you want to hit on those?
Sure. Yeah. 59 and a half is one that we're all kind of aware of. That's when you generally want to wait to at least that age before you take money from your IRAs, because that avoids a 10% penalty. And one that's can be important for those who may be charitably inclined with some of their IRA money is the age 70 and a half rule, where you can make distributions directly from your IRA to charities and therefore not have it hit your income at all. That's still 70 and a half. So when they changed the RMD age to 73 or 75, they left the age 70 and a half age still there for what are called these qualified charitable distributions.
Yeah, and that's a key thing to think about and talk to your financial or and or tax advisor with, because not only does it not, you know, come into onto your tax return for income tax calculations, it can be really key planning in avoiding surcharges either on your Medicare premiums. That's a key thing to consider. And then also there's some other surcharges that may come into play depending on what your AGI or adjusted gross income is. So
correct.
Just something to keep in mind if you're charitably inclined and at that age.
Yeah, as Nicole and I talk about these topics, we can keep going into a deep dive on so many of them, right? So we want to keep it sort of, keep it, hit some highlights here as we go along.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So then with that, if we kind of move along or kind of circle back to the Medicare, I know you mentioned a couple of the different plans or parts, but why don't you maybe, I think you wanted to kind of share some of the timetables that you want to be aware of as you approach age 65?
Sure. I mean, health insurance in general is probably one of the more basic questions that someone will say when they're thinking about retirement. I want to retire, but I need health insurance. And so you got lots of different ways to get health insurance now. With the Affordable Care Act, you can get it individually. So, you know, age 65 is, you know, if you stop working, you're going to come off your employer plan. And that's when Medicare is going to be pretty obvious that you're going to get on it. But however, your spouse might still be working. And so you might be on their plan or vice versa. You may keep working and your spouse may think about, you know, getting on your plan. So timetables are, you don't want to wait till the day you retire to think about your health insurance. You want to be thinking about it at least 90 days ahead of time in general. Talk to your, either your agents at your company or your HR department to see what options they give you. Oftentimes, they may have some resources. More than likely, people at your company have been through it before. And so there will be some guidelines to give you. In general, Medicare Part A is what you've got to sign up for when you've reached age 65 and you stop employment. Medicare Part A is free, but it gets you in the system. One part about getting Medicare Part A activated is you can't take your Social Security benefit until you're on Medicare Part A. So kind of an interesting piece. You can no longer make HSA contributions once you've been taking Social Security and gone on Medicare Part A. Medicare Part B is a little different. You can hold off applying for that until basically you need to. That's the one that covers doctors, you know, doctors and tests and that sort of thing. Medicare Part A is eligibility. Then you've got a drug plan. That's Part D. Then you're going to hear conversations regarding around your supplemental package. Do you want to have a Medicare supplement, a Medigap policy, or do you want to go to a Medicare Advantage plan? It's right around Christmas time here in Chicago and throughout the country. The commercials have finally mercifully ended. If you watch TV every couple hours, you get a Medicare call now and talk about Medicare. So right. That enrollment period that runs from, you know, from mid-October, I think, to early December, October 15th to December 7th, that's an important period each year. So you're going to be more aware of these issues as it's coming up. And like I say, the theme here is, hey, I'm heading for retirement. What am I thinking about? We know health insurance is a big one. And, you know, ask for help, you know, from your agents, from your advisors to kind of help guide you and your family to the right decision.
Yeah, and I would agree. Definitely, there's really no reason not to work with an agent. There's certain agents that specialize in this, certainly in the health insurance, and they know the plans backwards and forwards. They're going to be able to help guide you based on your individual situation. So there's real, and it doesn't cost you any more to work with an agent.
Right. Right. And, you know, depending on the size company you work for, again, the bigger the company, the more they're going to have resources and maybe even a plan for you. Many companies offer retiree health coverage up to a certain point when you hit Medicare, for example, and how that affects your spouses. And we have clients that are going on Medicare, but they got to find a plan for their spouse. One of my buddies, his retiree work plan doesn't cover spouses. So it's like, oops, okay. I'm rolling off. So I got to go find a policy for my wife. And that's, you know, things you want to be aware of. Just be asking the questions. And if you're not sure of the questions asked, people like us will help you with some of the questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I forgot to mention COBRA. It's been around for a long time, but that idea that you can stay on your employer plan for up to 18 months, you're paying all the premiums. But again, that could be an option if you wind up not doing much or you're not sure what to do initially.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Then as we kind of circle back to, we talked a little bit about Social Security and the various ages. So I think we've already hit on that.
One comment I'd make there about Social Security simply is that it's trying to figure out which benefits you're applying for, because there's three parts, right? There's your own benefit from your work history. There's a spousal benefit from your spouse's work history. There's a survivor benefit if you're in that situation. So being aware of what kind of benefits you think you might want to apply for or think about, again, things that need to be considered. It's not an easy question.
Another one I'll add on to, because I focus working in this area, is if you are divorced, as long as you were married for at least 10 years, you're going to be eligible for the higher of your own or half of your ex-spouse's benefit. So that's something to keep in mind. And you don't need to work with your spouse. You can call Social Security and they'll be able to help you figure out which is the higher the benefit. And it doesn't impact or decrease your ex-spouse's benefit either. So kind of just tagging on to what Mike said, you really want to kind of investigate what are all your options and then what is the best way to maximize it based on your personal situation.
Yeah. And if you do take it before 67, what kind of cutbacks would you experience? Because you want to know that, you know,
absolutely,
before you go in. Because once you start it, you're not turning it off.
Correct. Yeah. And the reduction is permanent. So it doesn't mean like, oh, it's just until you reach 67. It's permanent.
Right.
Okay. Then why don't we kind of get into a lot of times I know, Mike, we get this question all the time. People are like, okay, this is great. I'm financially independent. I no longer need to work for pay. I'm going to do it. But I don't understand. How am I going to pay my bills? I won't have a paycheck any longer.
Absolutely. It's the concept of I've got to replace my paycheck. And for some people, it's not maybe as critical because they have savings built up. It's more of a kind of an easing into it. For mm-hmm. many people, it's like, well, my paycheck was a big part of what I needed. So I need to get that started right away. And so again, trying to plan at least a few months, you know, several months before that paycheck stops so we can get ready for it. Some basic examples from our practices are if we know that a client situation is such that they're going to need some money out of their portfolio, well, generally speaking, especially in markets like this, when things are good, we're very happy to sell, put some money in cash, have it ready and put aside so it's there when you need it. The idea is that having a pool of funds, we'll call it the short-term bucket, where you don't have to stress about what the market's doing day to day, month to month, even year to year. We've got you covered as far as having that cash flow on hand. You may have pensions at your work, something that, again, things to be aware of when you want to take them. The other assets you have, again, then you start thinking about where it comes from, right? So one thing that we would always do with folks is we're, especially if we're just meeting them as they get closer to retirement, is paying a lot of attention to where their dollars are and what, how they're titled. What kind of assets are they? Are they bank account money? Is it IRA money? Do I have money in a work plan? Is it pensions that are coming in? You know, a taxable portfolio. So all of these things have different tax treatments and there's pros and cons as to how we might want to optimally have them come into your checkbook. Because at the end of the day, it's getting you comfortable with, hey, dollars need to show up in my checkbook as I expect them. And I think another big factor for folks sometimes is the timing of it, right? Do you need something monthly? Because that's what you're right. used to. Do you need something maybe quarterly, semi-annually, annually? I would say as advisors, we tend to be a little more comfortable with the, not comfortable, but easier to work if it's semi-annual or quarterly. But again, monthly can always be done. It's never a problem. It's just what works for you. You know, there's a psychological
exactly.
component
and
it to it.
It works just like your paycheck where we send it over electronically. And generally speaking, you know, it's going to be coming in, you know, in a day or two of the same time every month. So it takes out the guesswork of, oh, now I need to call my advisor to get money or I'm cutting it pretty close because I had a big, you know, MasterCard bill. So,
yeah. And I think related to that kind of is these concepts about taxes matter is, you know, I would say I'll call it an old wise tale many, you know, years ago was, well, I'm going to draw down all my personal money first before I tap into my IRAs. I'm going to wait as long as possible.
Right. Yeah.
Honestly, that's not
the
best advice.
Taxes.
Right. And if you're in a lower bracket there, that's maybe not the best idea. We'd like folks to go into retirement with a few different baskets of money, if you will, already taxed money, personal money, IRAs, you know, disqualified money has never been taxed, perhaps Roth money. And then the other piece of that would be, especially for some of the executives out there that maybe have bonuses or things coming in is, you know, thinking about the next 3 to 6 months coming, or maybe a year. Is there some last minute dollars coming in, you know, pay accrued vacation time, a final bonus that those are the kind of things that may hold off you needing that paycheck replacement.
Yeah. The other thing we've seen too is not only bonuses, but future like RSUs that like long-term incentive plans or deferred comp, where you might have very healthy levels of income coming in, you know, for the first several years of retirement. And while there's not a lot you can do for tax planning and that situation, what you can do is figure out do I want to reposition my portfolio? And then what's the game plan once those executive compensations have been paid out in full? So, all right. Well, Mike, I could sit here and talk to you all day. The good news is I know we're going to be back together for part two of this episode. So listeners, please hope you listen to this whole episode and then join us for part two, where we will be talking a little bit more about, we were talking about kind of the money in this episode, and this one is going to be more focused on how are you going to spend your time? How do you still have a sense of fulfillment? If you have a spouse or a partner, what conversations may you want to have before you guys are together 24/7? So please join us.
Yeah, definitely. Do not go away. Come back for part two because The money part, believe it or not, you can figure out, and that's kind of easy.
Yes.
It is the emotional, psychological side of it that, yeah, that'll get you every time, Nicole.
I've seen it. That's why I unfortunately have a flourishing practice of divorced people that I work with.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's listening to this and in between part one and part two want to reach out and get a hold of you, Nicole, how do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can call our office at 312-831-4370 and certainly can ask to speak with Mike. Our receptionist will be able to connect you, or myself, or really any of our wonderful advisors. Or you can go to our website, and on the homepage, there's a Contact Us button. And if you fill out your information, reference this episode, we can make sure that Mike or myself, or again, one of our fabulous colleagues does reach out.
Fantastic. The other thing you want to be sure to do if you're not already a subscriber is hit the follow button, because you'll become a subscriber and then you'll be notified when part two is released and you can listen to part two with Mike. So until then, I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Nicole and everybody back at Private Vista. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and we'll catch you on part two.
Thank you for listening to the Dollars and Cents Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on, or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.